there are only 23 days left of 2013. That means 332 days have gone, and we may well ask the question, what about those days? Were they fruitful or were they wasted? The closing of the year is as good a period as any to take stocks of life in business that will be called an inventory, in life that is self-examination. Records reveal that there are 2 days of the year when cases of suicide multiply significantly, and that's the first day of the year and the last day of the year. Diyan daw dumarami ang mga nagpapatiwakal, unang araw at huling araw. Cases of suicide on New Year's Day is most likely explained as loss of hope. As these people look at the future before them, they have no hope and they kill themselves. But what about suicide on the end of the year? There can be several explanations, and certainly one of those is weariness. I don't believe I'm talking to anyone who is suicidal here, but chances are there are weary people. Wala naman siguro magpapatiwakal sa inyo, pero maaring may mga nakakaramdam na ng pagkapagod, panlulupaypay, and in this last month of the year 2013, let me use two messages to speak a word to the weary. Weariness may simply mean the state of being tired after exertion of effort, and in that sense, it happens to us all. Lahat tayo napapagod. Kapag tayo nagtrabaho, nagkaroon ng pagpapagal, magkakaroon tayo ng pagkapagod. That is part of our physical life. But there is a more somber sense of weariness that happens in periods of our lives. The old translation for that is faint-hearted. Panlulupaypay ng puso. It is exhaustion, not just of physical energy, but of the inward compulsion, loss of vigor. Nawawala yung sigla. It happens even when we begin a venture full of vigor at the start, but after some time, we find ourselves spent and enervated. You may feel this weariness now in your career, in your vocation, in activities that have become routine. But there is none more dangerous than that weariness that pertains to the things of God in our lives. Ang pinaka-peligrosong panlulupaypay ay sa mga bagay ng Diyos sa ating buhay. Is it a ministry? Is it in the fellowship of brethren? Is it a means of grace that you are trying to keep and maintain? Does it pertain to the cultivation of your soul, sanctification of graces? For this first word to the weary, let me use a passage that stands out and a favorite of many for good reasons. I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and I will read verses 27 to 31. That great chapter 40 of Isaiah, verses 27 to 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now it is possible to make a neat division of Isaiah between the first 39 chapters as the first division and from chapter 40 to chapter 66 as the second division. The first part exposes the woeful state of Judah in its covenant-breaking guilt against Yahweh. The first division is filled with threats and warnings of judgment to come, and the judgment will come from Assyria and Babylon. Yan ang unang bahagi ng Isaias, mga banta ng parusa, ng paghahatol, sapagkat inilalantad ang kasalanan ng bansang Judah. But the second division is immediately striking from the very opening of chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people. Because the perspective has changed from 1 to 39, it is the whole nation. But from 40 and following, it is now a remnant. yung mga nalalabi na naging matapat. From the nation, the focus is now on a remnant that remained faithful to Yahweh and His word. And this second part is full of promises of restoration of God's people. And I believe that is fulfilled in the church, in the New Testament. In this second part, the key passages are four important servant songs, speaking of the suffering servant. And we believe that we have been fulfilled in Christ. And chapter 40 itself is pervaded with the assuring reminder of who Israel's God is. The writer, the prophet, or God himself through the prophet, is introducing himself in his greatness, in his immensity, that he is not someone who can be manipulated by the nations. Instead, the earth itself is just like a small circle in his hands. This is our God. And time and again, you have the invitation in chapter 40, behold your God. And this is an invitation that is worth heeding in these closing days of the year 2013. Have you forgotten your God? Have you not been looking at who your God is? And it is refreshing to be reminded, and this is what we find in this chapter. And what should this mean to the struggling people of God? Well, that is the point of our text. This is my simple message. God promises strength to His people who are weary due to faithfulness. Nangangako ang Diyos ng kalakasan sa kanyang mga tao na nanlulupaypay dala ng katapatan. God promises strength to His people who are weary due to faithfulness. Three times in our text, the word weary occurs. And it is the same Hebrew word in the original. And definitely, this is a major struggle of the people. And it remains to this day our continuing struggle as God's people. And I want us to see three pairs of characterization that may happen to God's people in their struggle. And we see these pairs in this text. The first is weary, though faithful. Nanlulupaypay bagamat matapat. Weary, though faithful. Second, strong but human. Nagpapalakas ngunit pantao. Strong but human. And thirdly, renewed and divine. Pinagpanibago o pinapanariwa at makadiyos. Renewed and divine. The first pair then is weary, though faithful. The focus of the second half of Isaiah is beyond the unfaithful nation. Judgments are impending upon them. But beyond the unfaithful nation, there is a faithful remnant. They continue to be faithful, and they now represent the nation. And that is why to this remnant, God can speak, O Jacob, O Israel. It is no longer the nation at large, but the remnant who represents the true nation of God, the true Israel, the true Jacob. And this remnant is seeking to be faithful to Yahweh amidst rampant unfaithfulness, but now they are getting weary in it. We learn here that faithfulness is most challenged at the point of weariness. Ang pinakahamon sa katapatan ay sa panahon ng panlulupaypay. Faithfulness is challenged at the point of weariness. The word that is used for weary in the original is often paired together with having no rest. Listen to Jeremiah 45:3, the same word. I am weary with my groaning and I find no rest. And the condition of the captive people can be summarized in Lamentations 5 and verse 5. Our pursuers are at our necks. We are weary. We are given no rest. So their weariness is described in terms of lack of rest. Now sometimes when we are engaged in hard work, we still find it bearable when we can anticipate a period of rest. And that rest will reinvigorate us for another round of work. But what if there is no rest in the foreseeable future? Just the very thought already adds to your weariness. Yung bang walang pahinga. Kung meron sana, kahit mahirap ang ginagawa mo, ay kakayanin mo sapagkat alam mong magpapahinga ka. Subalit sa panlulupaypay na nilalarawan dito, walang nakatakdang pahinga, no rest. The remnant is being faithful to Yahweh amid surrounding unfaithfulness, but they are weary. One message of Isaiah to Judah is to discontinue their unfaithful alliances with Assyria and with Egypt. That was one message. Because of the impending threat of Babylon, the unfaithful Israelites thought that the remedy is to be at alliance with Assyria or with Egypt. And Isaiah is discouraging them, dissuading them from that. Those who heard Isaiah are the remnant. They refused the alliance. But then, those who pursue such alliance seem more strong, more secure than the faithful remnant. And have we not felt that same sense of weariness? We seek to be faithful to the gospel. Yet sometimes the fruit seems to come so hard by. There seems to be no yield, even as we seek to be faithful to the gospel. And here are people who distort the gospel with a high hand, and yet they seem to be so plentiful. They seem to be so fruitful. And I don't know about you, when I sometimes come to the point of comparing, I sense the weariness. Is this something that is worth continuing when there is so little output and there are people who are unfaithful and they seem to be so plentiful? And that happened to the weary remnant. Doubt pressed upon them. Listen to their voice of doubt. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is disregarded by my God. They're prepared to give up because doubt is consuming them. It seems that the Lord does not care. And that's the point. But that's precisely where our faithfulness is going to be tested, when we are weary. Perhaps no animal exerts more energy than the horse. And yet, the wonder is it manages to sleep standing, ready for another round. And that's the kind of effort expected of us. After the run, we may continue to be faithful and prepare for another run when the master calls us. But the challenge here is understand your weariness while holding fast to your faithfulness. Unawain mo, kilalanin mo ang iyong nararamdamang panlulupaypay. Ngunit magpatuloy ka sa katapatan. In the case of the faithful remnant, their weariness takes the form of doubt. And this is the form that weariness will often press upon us, to begin to doubt. And we have similar doubts, perhaps directed at something else. You may be asking, is this really the gospel? Is this worth defending? Should we really spend so much time and effort, let alone money, trying to reform churches? Why don't we let them mind their own business as we mind ours? Maybe it will be better for them and better for us. That language of doubt can unsettle anyone. This is the language of doubt that invites to breaking off from your faithfulness. But one thing that we must marvel at this text is that it is God who in fact gave voice to those words. In other words, God knew. God knew their doubts, and He does not dismiss them. Alam ng Panginoon ang kanilang mga pag-aalinlangan, ngunit hindi niya sila pinaalis. Hindi niya sila tinalikuran. It's God who is asking, why do you ask, O Jacob? He knows their doubts, and He knows our doubts. He knows our weariness. Understand your own weariness. If it is due to faithfulness, God does not dismiss it. Now, there is a sinful weariness. It is that stated in Isaiah 43:22, where God indicts Israel, you have been weary of me, O Israel. Now, let that come to us as a searching light on our consciences. Can this be said of you? Can this be said of us? Weary of the Lord. Are you weary of the Lord Himself? That is weariness, not out of faithfulness. But here the remnant is weary due to their faithfulness. And when that is the case, God doesn't dismiss. God hears. God tenderly touches His people. And that is where we need to understand the providence of God. The providence of God sometimes seems to frown upon us, but beneath that, as the song says, He hides a smiling face. Learn to think of what's happening in terms of the providence of God. Roger Williams was a man persecuted in England because of his belief in the liberty of conscience. He went to the Netherlands, and similarly, he was persecuted. He crossed the Atlantic and founded a city which is now the capital of Rhode Island State. He named it Providence. And Roger Williams was the first founder of the First Baptist Church in the United States, a church that will flourish. And that's because he believed in Providence despite the wearisome circumstances of his life. So weary, though faithful. Second pair is strong, but human. To bring out the kind of strength that the Lord pledges, the prophet contrasts it with human strength. And he chooses human strength at its most vigorous. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. One psalm says, the glory of young men is their strength. So, in other words, the prophet, or God through the prophet, is choosing the very epitome of human strength. And yet he says that is illusion. The temptation of recourse to human strength is compelling in periods of weariness. And that's the danger that weariness holds. The peril of the faithful when weariness descends on his soul is to force a man-made rest. And the history of Christianity is littered with periods of erosion, starting with what seem to be innocent experiments of happiness. And even when they were outside the teachings and commandment of the scriptures, they seem to be little ways to make life happy, to make life tick. It happened in worship. There was a time when people wearied of preaching as the main event of worship. And rather than heed Paul's exhortation to Timothy, preach the word, whether in season or out of season, what Christians of the past have done is let in entertainment. They're forcing a man-made joy, a man-made happiness. It was small scale at first, special numbers that, quote, helped preaching. Then more entertainment, till at last preaching was displaced for a full-blown entertainment that they still call praise and worship. The word is gone. Those are human strengths. Yung bang pinipilit mong magkaroon ng kasayahan, kalakasan, bagamat hindi galing sa Panginoon, yan ang peligro ng kung bumigay ka sa iyong panlulupaypay. Are you doing something like this in your own discipline of prayer? Rather than pray with discipline, you utter whispers and then convince yourself, well, God knows the content of my heart. Are you doing something like that in your Bible examination, your Bible devotion? Instead of really reading the scripture to feed your soul, there's haphazard, if at all, reading of scripture. You're forcing a man-made strength, a man-made rest. It is a sad irony that Paul Walker of Fast and Furious fame would die in a car crash. Of course, he wasn't the driver. And there are times when we give ourselves to another driver of our lives, which is not from the Lord. It will crash. Discern the vanity and delusion of the merely human enabling. Human enabling, even its most vigorous, is vulnerable to its own weariness. Some are deluded to think that they can last on the strength of resolve. They're strong-willed people, and once they resolve, they think they can go on. Others try to retain their vitality through the happiness of company. They are people persons, and as long as there is company, they think they can persevere, and these are all man-made strengths. I will tell you this, the best that human enabling can retain is the habit, not the faithfulness. Habit is good for activities that do not require mental and soul engagement. Habit is a good faculty. I mean, can you imagine which button did you first button up of your polo? Up or down? How did you tie your shoes? Did you use the right shoe first or the left shoe? We don't think of those things. They are so routinary. Imagine if you always think of those things. I'm going to button up my top button, then my second. Mababaliw tayo noon. So God has given us this gift of habit forming, that those activities that do not require thought, we can do. But that's the danger when habit overtakes what you do for God. Because what we do for God must have mental and soul engagement. And it may be that some of us in our weariness, our prayer is now habit. Our worship attendance is habit. Our use of the scripture is habit. No more soul engagement. We maintain the routine. And when we do that, it will snap. And when it snaps, as our text says, young men shall fall exhausted. And nothing is more exhausting than just putting up a habit of the things of God. When we have our Lord's Supper tonight, we can do it as a habit. Time to take the bread, time to sip the wine, and do it as habit has taught us for many years. But is there engagement with the body of the Lord that has been broken for us? Is there engagement with the blood of the Lord that has cleansed us from our sins? It can happen to the best of them. I have told you about William Wilberforce, the man God has used in order to deliver or to end slave trade in Great Britain. Yet, at one point, when he was challenged by an elderly woman, she asked him, "Mr. Wilberforce, what about the soul?" And he answered with humble admission, "Madam, I have almost forgotten that I have a soul." You can be engaged in something good, but no soul engagement. That's the weary. You may look for strength, but merely human. In place of that, I suggest the third pair, renewed and divine. Here we are given the promise, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Here the Lord provides strength sufficient to the challenge, and that is even at the point of being faint, because he says he gives power to the faint. He doesn't say he gives power to one who has already overcome his faint-heartedness. Right there at the point you're being faint and weary, God provides, God gives strength. The Lord does not wait for us to stand first and then gives the strength. But even while we are down, if we look to him, and the word used is renew their strength. The Hebrew word is interesting. It means succession. After this particular strength has been used, there is a succeeding strength. You don't need to live from the past. You don't need the past strength provided for you in a particular instance. There is always renewal of strength. There is a succession of strength. And he uses here figures to show what that strength can do. He will mount up with wings like eagle. He will fly, run, walk, and not be weary. And he will not faint. You know, in boxing, there is what experts call the second wind. After the initial weariness of the boxer, based upon his conditioning, he will have the second wind, meaning a renewal of strength in the later rounds. And the better conditioned boxer can rely more on that second wind. Well, in our case, it's not whether we are better conditioned. It is whether we are, in the words of our text, waiting upon the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And the most concise way I can describe what it is to wait upon the Lord is know who He is and see what He will do. As waiting upon the Lord. It does not refer to a passivity of motionlessness, waiting what God will do. It means seeing Him, knowing who He is, and seeing what He will do. Are you still seeing what the Lord is doing in your life? Or are you living on borrowed strength, borrowed experience, but not your own? Here, the prophet reminds the remnant which is weary, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. When you are most weary, God has not wearied one degree. He is still the strong God, and He has a sufficient supply of strength for you. Reflect on the attributes of God and apply them to your weariness. And don't forget, the most weary one was the man hanging on the cross. We are told in one of the servant songs of Isaiah, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. When we remember the Lord's death through the Lord's Supper tonight, remember that man on the cross, he was the weary one. And that weary one was abandoned by God on our behalf. In our weariness, God never abandons us because He has abandoned the one who substituted for us. And this is the Savior. If you do not know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I am telling you there is only one that can bring you to the Father in the multitude of your sins. There's nothing that technology can do for you. Nothing that your own wisdom can do for you. Nothing that culture can do for you. The only thing that can address that issue of sin is the Lord Jesus when He died on the cross. And for us, in our weariness, we can lift up our hands and reach out to the one who became abandoned for us in His weariness, and then there experience the supply of His strength. I think of Carolina Sandelberg. She was a daughter of a pastor in Sweden. One day her father invited her to a boat ride, but in the middle of their boat ride, the boat capsized, and she saw her own father died or drowned right before her eyes. But then, from that traumatic experience, Carolina Sandelberg became a prolific hymn writer. She is called the Fanny Crosby of Sweden. And her most famous hymn was translated in English as Day by Day. And we will sing that last hymn as our response to this. But remember, brethren, when you are weary due to faithfulness, the Lord does not dismiss that weariness. Call upon the Lord. Confess your weariness, and He will find Him tender to the weary, though faithful. As the second verse says, every day the Lord Himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares
if fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Let us close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, tunay nga na pinagtatapat namin sa iyo ang aming karupukan. Madalas na dumarating kami sa punto ng aming panlulupaypay. Ngunit salamat na mayroon kang pangako sa mga naghihintay sa iyo sa pananampalataya ng angkop na kalakasan na kailangan namin sa bawat hamon na aming hinaharap. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that there is sufficient strength. And it is guaranteed as sufficient because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the weary one on the cross. And in his weariness, he was abandoned in order that he may taste in full the penalty for sin. And because of that, we are, in our weariness, have the promise of sufficient strength for every challenge. There will be times in our faithfulness that we will find ourselves weary while we are surrounded by the unfaithful who seem to be secure, plentiful. Yet we know that it will be well for the faithful, even though we are in periods of dearth, periods of fruitlessness and barrenness, yet it will still be well for the faithful. So grant that we may face and understand our own weariness and know that you are not dismissing us because of our weariness. Indeed, you tenderly deal with those who are weary due to faithfulness. But the temptation always is to have recourse to mere human strength. And mere human strength may have the delusion of going on, yet its best fruit is mere habit without the kernel of vital spirituality. And do deal with those of us here who may have formed habits around their worship, habits around their prayer, around their Christian exercises. Help us, Lord, to know more of that soul engagement with our God. Deliver us from our weariness that has formed habits around our exercises. And help us, Lord, to know that promise that the faint will be renewed in strength. And because of the Lord Jesus, that strength is successive. There will be strength after strength has been used up. There are more from your reservoir of grace. So grant that we may experience your strength as we travel our life and journey of Christian living. As we have our Lord's Supper tonight, help us, Lord, to remember the weary one for us so that we may derive strength through him from your bounty. Be with us in the application of this. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.